If you'd like to support us, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. So what I want to talk about now is about spiritual truths, something that you can hang your hat on, something you can meditate on, and you can spend days and months thinking about, and it will continue to expand and expand, because these are spiritual truths. And if you understand the depths of these things, your life will change. And these are truths that will never change. They are based on kingdom principles. So there's one truth that I always meditate on, and it is, God will only fellowship with you with the amount of change in you. So God doesn't fellowship with unrighteousness or unrighteous thinking. He only fellowships with the change inside you, and He creates that change. So we only receive the level of revelation from God that our character can handle. And God changes our character while we're praying in tongues, while we're meditating on the Word, while we're in the presence of the glory of God. Our character is changed. And from that character, we understand even greater depths of who God is, who Jesus is, and a function of the Holy Spirit. And those things can only be revealed to us if our character is changed, if the unbelief is gone. You know, the capacity to believe God. We have to understand that God is big. And when it comes to miracles, when it comes to expecting important things from God, big things from God, we need to know that He is open-ended. He is beyond our capacity to understand. He's beyond our reality in every way. He's beyond everything that we know, understand. He can provide everything beyond that. So all of life and every aspect of life that you have, God is not restricted. He is far bigger than all of your life and your understanding of life, your understanding of everything, your understanding of life in all its aspects, in finances, in physics. God can, He is bigger than all the physics that contain you in this life. And if you meditate on these things and understand how big God is, and that He is for you, and He wants to work with you, He's not limited by anything. He is only limited by the amount of reality we walk in. And God is true reality. You know, I've experienced angels, the presence of angels, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. I've experienced the glory of God hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And it's different. There's lots of different expressions of God's glory. And I'm one of those people, I poke at things, and I don't just walk past something. I stop and I look at it. I say, what is that and how does it work? I meditate on the functionality of everything. It's part of my personality. So when God turns up, well, when the glory turns up, I meditate on what is this and how does this function? And what role does this have in my life? What purpose, what benefit can I use this for? And I ask God and He gives me the answer. So I try to be open-ended in my understanding of God. I'm not restricted in anything, my theology, anything. You know, the Bible, the Lord told me that the Word of God is the anchor for my soul. So I understand that the Word of God is the express image of the Father, and Jesus is the Word of God. Now, I could talk a lot about that and about how Jesus is a man and that He has received the revelation from the Father, and He's encapsulated it and put it in the Holy Spirit, and He's dropped it in us. We will never, ever, ever ever reach the end of the knowledge of God, because he is far greater than our human experience. Even when we're transformed, even when Jesus comes back and we're changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll know him as he knows us, we'll still gaze at the Father with awe and wonder, and it will be open-ended, and our capacity as human beings, we will never ever be able to max out God. We'll never be able to reach the end of the knowledge, the height, the width, and the depth, and the breadth of God as human beings. So we're limited. You can't ask an ant, no matter how long the ant lives with you, to understand a human experience. But an ant can only receive so much of life, so much of life as far as a human being. You can feed an ant. You can look after an ant. You can provide for an ant. You can protect an ant. You can bless and make sure that ant is well catered for. That's wonderful. But that ant will never, ever, ever become a human and understand a human experience. No matter how much, how wonderful an experience that ant has, he'll never be a human. We'll never be a God. We'll never be God. We'll never be the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what we have is, we have the Father, who is God. We have the Word, which is God, and became flesh and now becomes a human being. And he's the man God. He is two people in one. He is man and God. God, the Father, is a spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in us. And we have the Father and the Son, who is the man God, Jesus, and he's inside us through the Holy Spirit. So the revelation that we receive from the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus, who got the revelation from the Father. He is the express image, and he represents everything that we can possibly be, think, and understand. And he is encapsulated, he's put it, wrapped around in the Holy Spirit. It's in the package of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals the Father and the Son to us. So, the more you want a revelation of God, the greater capacity you have to experience in this life. This life can be very limiting. You can have only certain... You may be born in the wrong place. You may be born in the wrong time. You may be born in a third world country. Or you might be born in a rich family in a wonderful country, free from turmoil and wars and all sorts of crime and corruption. But that's your life experience. But you can be born in the worst place ever, and if you're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the capacity to become the sons of God, as it says in the Gospel of John chapter 1. You have the capacity to pull down heaven. You have the capacity to speak into this world the transforming power of the kingdom of God. But you need to have revelation. You need to know what you have. You need to know who you are. And if you don't have that, you won't ever, ever operate in it. So the idea is to go to Jesus, go to the Father through the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit download and transform your thinking. First, the Holy Spirit will get rid of all of the things that stop you from believing in the full capacity of the Godhead. He will transform all of that which comes between you and the Godhead. And he will warfare over all of those thoughts. He will warfare over your life circumstances. He will warfare over your genetic structure and what you've received genetically through the blood of Jesus. And you have a winning situation genetically. If you're suffering from bad genes, the blood of Jesus Christ can transform those genes, because the life is in the blood. If you have a bad life, you're not educated, well, the wisdom of God trumps all of the education of man, no matter where you are. And if you live in a bad society, you know, God can give you the capacity to have great grace, free unmerited favor, where you will excel in everything you put your hand to. All of these things come from a revelation of God by the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that revelation, you're limited in your relationship with God. If you want to stay in just a religious, churchy type thought, then you're going to limit your experience with God on this earth. You can move into a place where the revelation of God is on tap. It's continually flowing. And all you have to do is first sit down, pray in tongues, let the Holy Spirit warfare with fire against everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus. But it's up to you. You have a choice. You know, you only protect what is valuable to you. And if you don't know what you've got, you won't protect it. If you don't understand what you've got, you won't protect it. If you don't understand salvation, you won't protect it. If you don't understand your eternal life, your eternal salvation, you won't protect it. If you don't understand the capacity of revelation, the ability that you have as a new creation, and the understanding that you will receive from the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the kingdom of God, if you don't understand the depths of all of that, you won't protect it. If you don't value the presence of God, the glory of God, you won't protect it. So what do I mean by protecting? Well, if you've got a little teddy bear, which is a stuffed bit of rag, and somebody beats up on it, you will go and protect it. Doesn't have any life in it. It's just a stuffed bit of rag, a couple of buttons sewed on the eye parts to look like eyes. And you place some sort of relationship with a nothing, a teddy bear, you know, and you will protect it. It's a nothing. How much more should you protect the things of God that are eternal? A lot of people get in the glory of God and they're told, oh, yes, 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 and they lose their appreciation for the glory of God. And the Bible says in Hebrews, it talks about children, talks about people being children or babes in Christ and not growing up. And it talks about the first principles of Christ in chapter 6. And then it talks about the powers of the world to come. And if you have experienced the powers of the world to come and you don't value that and you don't appreciate and understand the value of that, you won't protect it. And when it slips from your hands, it'd be very hard for you to get it back because, number one, you didn't see it as being that valuable or that important. I value the presence of God every day. I value my salvation every day. And I speak that to the Lord. I say to the Lord, I appreciate you. And I thank you for the revelation you've given me. And I'm going to protect it with everything that I have. And all the knowledge that you've given me, downloaded to me by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to protect. And my relationship with you and the Father, I'm going to protect. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to guard it with great jealousy. I'm not going to let anybody steal my crown. I'm not going to let anybody impact or come between me and the Father and His Son Jesus. I'm not going to let any human being on this planet with any philosophy that they want to bring to the table impact me, transform me, or change my opinion on anything to do with the kingdom of God. Because all of my understanding, all of my revelation comes from the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. So I'm very protective of the presence of God. I'm very protective of the revelation that He gives me. I'm very protective of the salvation that I have. And I believe I'm walking in my salvation now. I consider myself not when Jesus comes back or when I die and I'm raised from the dead and we go to be with Jesus forever. I don't consider that the start. I consider right this moment I consider this as part of my eternity. I'm an eternal being. And it would be smart, it'd be wise to access everything that I can from the kingdom of God to make this life beneficial for me and to understand the big picture that the Father has for all of us. And there are many. One of the pictures is Jesus said he came, right, to destroy sin. Jesus said he came that you might know the Father. This is eternal life, that you might know the Father. Jesus came for many things. He came to demonstrate the kingdom of God to us so that we know how to walk in it. We need to understand these things. We can be religious or churchy and just go to church, sing songs, be really nice to our brothers and sisters, and then go and live our normal life and have a two-life situation, one life during the week and one life on the weekend. I choose to have a 24/7 wrapped around the kingdom of God life because I see the kingdom of God as my most valuable asset. The resources that I can draw from the kingdom of God are limitless, and they are only they're only limited by my lack of understanding, my lack of ability to reach into the miraculous. You know, Peter said to Jesus, after Jesus said, 70 times 70, you should forgive your brother. And Peter's going, oh, wow, that's a hard one, because a lot of people are very hard to forgive. And he said to Jesus, please increase our faith. That's so funny. Jesus said to him, you know, all things are possible with God. Everything, no matter what you have, all things are possible with God. If you're born in a wheelchair with spina bifida, or you're born with another ailment that's impacting on the quality of your life, the smartest thing for you to do would be to sit down and just pray your way into the victory, no matter how long it takes. I mean, it's quite logical. If you had a club foot that was all banged up and you needed crutches to walk around, it would be better for you to sit down, more wiser for you to sit down, have a nice cup of tea and pray your way into victory so that your club foot will turn around. You may not even have the faith to even believe that your foot will be healed. However, God is wonderful and he has set with us the capacity to start from nothing and go forward. If you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, move. So if you've got a club foot, you've got no faith and no hope at all, and everybody's told you, every doctor and every person, every Christian friend that you've got has told you that you're stuck with this club foot, just the act of praying and saying to the Holy Spirit, what can I do about this? How far can I go with this? Everybody's telling me that I can only go very, very short. I'm lucky, whatever. And if you start praying and asking the Holy Spirit, he will increase your faith by giving you hope. He will start revealing to you the capacity that God can do in your life. And all you will do is receive faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And without hope, you can't manifest faith. So, you pray in tongues 5 minutes a day. Just seeing, what can we do? I don't know the answer. Please show me. And you start praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit will go to work and intercede for you. And he will give you hope. And you will start to be uplifted. You'll start to be edified. You'll start to be built up. And that hope will come, and the light in the distance will start to shine. And God will say to you, look at that light, go forward. And you may not understand what that light is or what that revelation is, but if, as you pray, the Holy Spirit will start to form the shape of that victory in you. He'll start to form the understanding, and hope will start to manifest, it'll start to shape in your heart. And then from that hope, you'll be able to step into faith. And then you'll continue to pray, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So praying in tongues puts a vision inside you that's further up the track, and God asks you to walk to that. He never asks you to do something that you can't do. Now, he'll only give you a vision as far as you'll go. When you get there, he'll increase the vision. And as you get to that point, he will increase the vision. And as you get to that point, he'll increase the vision. And the vision will become more clearer, more pronounced, and you'll have a great understanding of how it works. And you'll go forward. So, what are the limitations in God? Nothing. I actually spend a big part of my day in wonderment how big God is. One of the things I come to God is I say, I'm 61 now, Lord, and I've got lots and lots of revelation. How am I going to use all this stuff, even if I live to 80? I've got enough revelation to last for 5 lifetimes. I can guarantee that to you. I've got so much revelation, it's just amazing. I said to the Lord, what do I do with this? He said, you're eternal. You know, when Jesus comes back and we're transformed, we're still going to be us and we're going to move forward, and that revelation is going to carry through. We're going to continue on, and there are going to be people who are going to step into the kingdom of God when Jesus comes back with very little revelation of things, and they're going to have to learn. And you know, Jesus told me that he's going to teach us from the Word of God. He's going to teach us from the Bible. And that Bible, that book, will last for eternity for us, because that is the sole and absolute complete 100% revelation of God to man, encapsulated in a book. So we're not going to get a new revelation when Jesus comes back. We're not going to get an upgrade of something. He's going to give us everything out of the book. He's going to show us and say, you missed this. You know, the revelations go down 17 deep, and they go across all the books and all the pages, and you connect the dots. And the connect the dots stuff to give you revelation, I can't even consider how many billions of revelational things, I don't know what you'd call them, revelational bullet points, I don't know, that you can obtain from the Bible. I don't know how. It is just goes on forever. He told me it is eternal. So I believe him. I believe him. I believe that I can have a massive chunk now. I believe that Paul, he said, one of his greatest things was to know him, to know Jesus Christ. You would think Paul knew a lot about Jesus Christ and the resurrection. He was hoping that he would know so much about Jesus that he wouldn't be contained in this body, that he would be like Enoch, he'd be taken, or like Elijah, taken in a chariot. He can't contain this. He can't be in this world. He's moved beyond that. Well, that's a revelation within itself, and I have touched on those things many times. So, as far as hope goes, your hope is enormous. The potential and the opportunity is enormous for you. The opportunity to demonstrate the kingdom of God, to actually manifest the kingdom of God in dark lives, bringing them into the light, is enormous. All you have to do is have hope. All you have to do is actually have that hope manifest in faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And when you pray, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. Why? Because God gives you hope. He puts this hope inside you. And hope doesn't make you ashamed. You know, you're never going to get to the point where you go, oh, you know, God's not that big or whatever. No, God is, he's bigger than your existence will ever be. You will never ever max him out. You'll never get to the end of him. He'll always be ahead of you. It's just amazing. And the Lord has given this to me and give me understanding of these things, and I teach people these things. But it's up to every individual. One of the only things I can't do is I can't make a person choose God. I've seen lots of people, or not lots, but a lot, where God has turned up massively and they're still struggling to go forward. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I've seen people who have had revelations or visitations far greater than me, and they're still slack. I've never seen an angel. I've never seen Jesus. I've experienced, I've felt the presence of angels. I know they are. And I sit in the glory of God. I don't. I've never had Jesus walk through the walls and stand in the room with me and talk to me. But you know, I have an intimacy far greater than just having an experience like that. I know people who have been taken to heaven, and they still struggle at having a God purpose in their life, because they're covered in the flesh and they need to warfare against the darkness in their life. Knowing that Jesus exists is wonderful, but you need to have purpose in your heart. You need to purpose in your heart to go forward with the things of God. And God has given us a formula. He's given us an opportunity, and it's so simple. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, if you allow him to unleash all of the opportunity that he brings, you are unstoppable. So the enemy would try to stop us from accessing the Holy Spirit. He would try to stop us from praying in tongues. He tried to stop us by telling us that God is very limited in this world. You have to wait until you die. So we just sit around waiting and just waiting until we grow old and die so that we can access the kingdom of God. That's the lie. We have a great massive amount of access from the kingdom of God. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe God. That's one of the big problems. We have a little God in our brain. We think of God as limited in this realm. He is more than capable of delivering every benefit that you need in this life. He is more than capable. He is not limited in any way. All you have to do is have a will to just be with him, to actually follow him. Jesus showed us when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Not my will, but yours." He had a will. He had desires. He thought, "How can I get out of this? This is not going to be good." But he still said to the Father, "I'm going to do what you asked me to do." And he purposed in his heart to go to the cross for us. He knew it was going to hurt. I reckon the worst thing that was in his heart was that he knew that after he died, he was going to hell. Because he wasn't going to have a little tea party in some little holiday camp. He was going to hell because he was the worst sinner that ever lived, because he took all of our sins upon him. He didn't just take upon them technically. He actually was made sin for us. He went to the worst place that the worst sinner would ever go to. How long did he spend there? Well, I know it wasn't any more than 3 days, but I don't know how short it was. Before the Father reached down with his right hand, and the Bible says that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and pulled him out of that place and into resurrection life. And he overcame death, and he got for himself the keys of hell and death. That's pretty amazing. So, like I said, the revelation that we have is only limited by the amount of character that God changes. Okay, so the more deeper the character that we have in God, the greater the revelation. And Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to transform us our soul, to sanctify our soul, separate our soul from worldly thinking, worldly ideas, worldly concepts, worldly ambitions, everything that is going to compete with the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit, His job is to take us away from all that stuff. So the greater revelation we can have with God. But it's up to our will. We need to will. We need to decide. We need to choose God. We need to choose life rather than death. It's up to us. I delight in laying my will at the feet of Jesus. I delight in doing that. I delight. That's one of the things that I can sacrifice to God, is my will. I can say, it's not mine. Do with my life what you want, what you will, Father. And I just, Don and I, my wife and I, are on the same page. We are totally sold out to the kingdom of God. It is far greater and bigger and more complex, and it will last for eternity. And we're just sold out to it now, not when Jesus comes back, when we die or we're raised in a twinkling of an eye, but we're sold out now. And we're trying to access as much of the kingdom of God as possible. And what's our motivation? What, so we can be wonderfully and marvelously slapped on the back by saying we're great? No, to be a servant. Because the Lord told us that if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, be a servant. Because, you know, the kingdom of God is accessed by the servants. You know, the President of the United States, he has access to all the nukes. He has access to all of the laws, all the situations, and he gets flown around in Air Force One. And he has a great and mighty mechanism or machinery around him that keeps the presidency going. He has access to a lot of stuff. Well, I have access to all of the kingdom of God and all its machinery and all its capacity and all of that it can supply to me, because I humbled myself, and instead of building myself up, I actually go about building other people up. I'm a servant to my brothers and sisters. And if I, you know, you can just make it up and say, well, I want to be a servant. No, it doesn't work like that. You actually have to go into the fire of the Holy Spirit and let him burn up all of the lies and deceit that's in your heart, all of the self-will and self-exaltation, all the pride, all of the false humility and everything else that is trickery, and let him burn it up. And by the time he gets done with it, you are truly a servant. And you can receive all this stuff from the kingdom of God because you can be trusted with it. Because you've allowed all the stuff that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus to be cast down, to be burnt out of your life. Because of that, you can access revelation. He will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Why? So that you can help minister to your brothers and sisters. Right? That's how it works. So I delight in being a servant of the Lord. And I'm an unprofitable servant as well. I'll tell you about unprofitable servants. If I told somebody to do a job and I paid them $100 and they did the job exactly right, they're unprofitable. They only did exactly what they were told to do. If I gave someone $100 to do a job, they did it, and then they went and did another job for me and another job, which I didn't negotiate for the $100, then they're profitable. So can you imagine? God has said, lay your life down, pick up your cross and come with me, put down all the things that you hold dear, and take upon yourself the mantle of a servant and follow God and minister to your brothers and sisters and lay your life down for your brothers and sisters. How much more can you do? You can't do any more. So you're an unprofitable servant. This is your reasonable service in God, is to lay down your life and serve your brothers and sisters. Anyway, we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.